This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and welcome. My name is Doug Kelly.
Hello and welcome. Sorry about that. My name is Doug Kelly. It's so good to have you here for this episode on Sunday, May 8th, 2011. I'm glad you could join us for Empower the Spirit. Just a few technical issues at the beginning. Apologize for that. Today's show, we're going to talk about embracing new directions, but let me give you a little bit of background on the show and what it's about. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. We do that in a variety of ways. And really, they focus on metaphysical topics, but with a heavy emphasis on practical life skills. This program is one about enhancing the human condition, both spiritually and physically. Each week, you can ask questions in the live chat room if you're a live listener, and I will try to answer those questions on the air. You can also email questions to me during the week if you so choose, and they will be addressed on the show. You can send them to admin@mchschurch.org. There is a link for our website on the show page if you're listening there. Well, let's talk about today's topic, and that is embracing new directions. You know, life is about change, obviously. Everybody knows that. And the interesting thing about change is that while some people embrace it, many people don't. In fact, many people resist change. They do so almost at all costs. And, of course, when you ask these people who resist change, is change constant? They'll tell you yes. And they also know that life is about change. So what is it about this, about embracing change, that can be so difficult? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I thought that I would begin with some of my background, some of the changes that I have experienced throughout my life, because these changes, well, are responsible for where I'm at today. My history obviously goes back a few decades, but my background was a religious background with Jehovah's Witnesses. Many of you know this. But there were a lot of different things about my life that changed all the time. Of course, being in that mindset, which I now recognize as a cult mindset, really started me off in a direction of, that had to change. Let's put it that way. It had to change. And the type of personality I was about change. In fact, that's part of my personality. I embrace change. It's just always been who I am, and I've always sought to grow and learn and evolve and expand, and I've always been a doer. It's just been my way to approach things. And this is the way I was growing up in that religion. I was fourth generation. My folks, brother, sister, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, everybody was part of that belief system. And as I grew up into my 20s, my 30s, and progressed in that church and the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, I continued to expand and evolve, even within those tight parameters. I always sought to be a free thinker and think for myself in as much as I could within those parameters. The interesting thing about it, me being who I am and having a variety of interests in life, about the mysteries of life and what it's all about and everything, it was inevitable for me to ultimately leave that religion. But that required a lot of changes, an awful lot of changes. In fact, it was a huge change, because you don't just leave Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't just leave. That's one of the big reasons why they are a cult. You can't just leave, because if you leave, well, there are only two ways out of the organization. Well, okay, three. One is death. That's not very desirable. The second way is to actually get excommunicated, which they call disfellowship, and then nobody talks to you. They shun you, literally. best friends, family, all of them are supposed to shun you under threat of being excommunicated themselves. The third way to leave is to leave voluntarily, and that's called disassociating. But that carries the same penalty as being excommunicated. If you leave the organization voluntarily, then you will be treated as an ostracized one. You will be shunned. I guess there is a fourth way. You can slowly fade away, but that takes a long time, months, years, and probably a move is required and not letting them know where you moved to so they can't contact the other local church. So there's a lot of changes to that. Well, back in 1999, I left the church and was ultimately excommunicated. If I could go back and do it now, I'd just disassociate, but it's the same difference. And as a result of that decision, because I could no longer buy into the belief system anymore, it just had problems, as I later did my research and found out, that the changes came. Ultimate, huge life changes came as part of that. That meant that I lost everybody I'd ever known and loved. They will no longer have a relationship with me. And I'm not embellishing this, that they do shun. And so I lost my family, my brother, my sister, my folks, my aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody, all the friends I ever knew. In fact, today I think I have, well, two cousins that had left before me and a couple of friends that also left. And that's it. That's the only people I know that I knew 30 years ago or 20 years ago. They're all gone. Huge changes. But those were not the only changes. Because leaving a belief system that you were grown up with and was inculcated in you from birth left a huge mark on the old existential issues. I mean, I grew up knowing that I knew what life was all about, what the future held, where we were going. You know, I was never supposed to die. I mean, Armageddon was supposed to come in a peaceful new world and nobody would die, everybody would be restored to perfection and all that stuff. And that required, me leaving required a huge worldview change. And that took 2 or 3 years of existential crisis to try to figure it all out and get my feet planted back on the ground. But I did. Now, in the midst of all this was another thing that required a lot of changes. And that was that I had grown up in an alcoholic home, as so many other people have done. And when I grew up, I had a propensity to be drawn and attracted to somebody with, well, who would later become an alcoholic, and that's exactly what happened. And so I had grown up in this and had married it, and it was not until 18 years later that I had ended that marriage about the same time I left the church there. And that required a lot of changes, obviously. Anybody who's gone through a divorce or a split in a relationship like that will attest to that. But huge, huge changes, and no support group, because they'd all gone out the window because I was no longer a Jehovah's Witness. So I was left with myself and with my now wife, Tracy, and we left together and both had a similar experience. So we had a support mechanism together, but still the changes were huge. And I'm not relating this simply for the sake of relating yet another tragic life story. I'm relating it because I don't know of any deeper changes that a person could really go through. A lot of people have gone through changes similar to what I have described here. When you lose everything, and literally everything, it puts a whole new perspective on life. So many of us resist change because of what we might lose, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. We resist that. We don't like the change because we have that fear. But yet, those changes in life are inevitable. We all know that, but on what level do we know it? You know, change is a way of life. And in retrospect, I look back now, back to those scary times when life was changing and I had no control over it to speak of. I look back on that and I am extremely happy and feel fortunate that these changes occurred and that I weathered them successfully. You know, there were casualties in terms of relationships along the way. Yes, in fact, all of them or most of them. But those changes paved the way for further growth and development. And that's a big point, too. Think about your changes. Think about what's going on in your life. It paves the way to further education, further evolution, further personal growth. In fact, the very evidence of the MCHS Church is part of that. And that in itself required a lot of changes. When I had left organized religion, I had the furthest thing I ever wanted to do was start a church. Well, yet here I have. But yet it's a metaphysical church. It's a real life-type church with practical life skills designed to help people. I would have never done that back then. I could have never done that back then. One of the maxims that I say and use all the time, and one of my core values, is how hard can it be? Well, change may be hard, but it's not impossible. And those changes pave the way for additional growth and additional evolution, which is critical. I mean, if we're not growing, we're dying. Isn't that the definition of entropy? Entropy is that phenomenon in the universe where things revert back to a state of inert matter. It's a state of disorder. Things go back to the dust. Well, if we're not growing, we're dying. That's entropy. Change is part of that growth. Well, what about your life? I've briefly related my story. What about your life? What is your story? Well, you know your story, of course. What changes have you had to make in your life, either willingly or by force, almost, dragging and kicking? Let's talk about change and why people resist change so much. This is kind of like an onion. You know, you peel the layers away until you get to the core. So let's do that. Why do people resist change? Well, a common answer is comfort zones. People have their comfort zones. And this is true. This is part of human nature. In fact, another part of human nature is the trait of seeking the path of least resistance. We all tend to do that. Habits, comfort zones. And yet there's a deeper reason for why people resist change. Another common answer is fear, and more precisely, fear of the unknown. And this is true. You know, fear does calculate into why people resist change. The interesting thing about our fears is most of them are irrational in nature, and they're not based on the real. They're based on our real, but not real, whatever that is. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar talked about fear. He described fear, F-E-A-R, as false evidence appearing real. Many people know that. And it's a great acronym, false evidence appearing real. While some of our fears in life may be legitimate, most of our fears are not based on real evidence, but on false evidence. False evidence appearing real. So people resist change due to fear, and a common one is fear of the unknown. But there's even a deeper reason why people resist change. And here it is. We've continued to peel these onion layers away, and we find at the core the reason why people resist change, and it is this. It all boils down to this. We resist change because we ultimately fear losing control. We resist change because we ultimately fear losing control. The powerful and driving force of human nature is the need to control. This is just part of the deal. And people tend to resist change because they are afraid they won't know what to do or won't be able to do what they need to do if things were to change. So it is fear, but it's fear of losing control. If we feel in control of something, we don't really have that fear. We can do it. And so that's a key point to keep in mind. When you're looking at changes and you're resisting those changes, the question to ask, what are you fearing? How will you lose control if you were to do this change or go through with it? You see, it's inevitable. Change is inevitable. They're going to happen. Yet we always have a choice. If we actually seize control, or excuse me, let me reword that. If we actually embrace change, we're seizing control. We're taking control of that change. And therefore, we're in a better position to maintain control of that change as we do it. Change will happen, and it's much better to control that change by embracing it rather than letting it control us. Those who've listened to me speak before have heard me reference James Allen, his writings before, and As a Man Thinketh, about a little over 100 years ago it was published. But James Allen makes a huge point that it was a big lesson for me in my life many years ago. It basically says that when we learn the spiritual lesson contained in any circumstance, the circumstance or that circumstance will pass, allowing us to move on and learn other lessons. So if we're confronted with changes and we don't want those changes or we're resisting them, what's the spiritual lesson contained in those changes? We need to learn that, because the universe is funny that way. The universe will continue to give us the opportunity to change when we need to. And if we don't, then it's going to kind of help us along. Think about this. Practical example, we have a bill that we need to pay, but we don't. We get reminders to pay that bill, but we ignore those reminders. We resist the change, so to speak. Pretty soon, whatever that bill was for, perhaps it was a service, it gets shut off. The universe has now said, you will change your attitude on paying this bill or you won't have it anymore. Well, that's the same way. The universe gives us opportunities to make these changes, and if we don't make them, oftentimes they'll be made for us. Reminds me of the old adage. You know, if you don't make a choice, well, of course, that is a choice to choose to not make a choice. But if you don't make a choice in your life, a choice will be made for you. If you don't choose the direction of your life, that direction will be chosen for you by others. And by default, is that really what you want? Likely not. Make your choices. Embrace change and maintain that control. You've heard perhaps this expression, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Well, we have to change if we want different results. And of course, the very common definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different outcome or result. You know, we do that. A lot of folks do that. We bang our head on the wall constantly and then wonder why we have a headache. Well, we can't just keep doing things the same way, because if we do, we'll get the same result. New results require new thinking and new approaches. So as you face these changes, whatever they may be, ask yourself about what it is that's holding you back, what you fear, but then also address the positive side of those changes, knowing that, yes, change can be difficult. It can be uncomfortable, usually is. But once you get to the other side of that change, you look back and often realize how valuable it was in your own development. There have been obviously a lot of things going on in the last 2 or 3 years with the world economy. Many people are down and out, have lost jobs. These, of course, led to other problems, relationship issues, family issues, and it's sad. It really is. But along with these hardships and adversity, we do have the choice, the power to embrace these changes, to look for solutions that exist. And so if this applies to you, don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. That is important, to not lose heart, to not lose hope. And sometimes that can be very difficult as well. But there are many people like you, and there are many good people around, many people who can support. And that's one of the purposes of MCHS Church, is to provide support and encouragement. And we offer that to our members by way of our forum at mchschurch.org. One of the parts of this program that I want to introduce is something that I call guided meditation. We talked about a few points here, but it helps to just have a few moments of quiet time to think about your changes or to focus on whatever it is that's plaguing you or worrying you or stressing you at the moment. And so what I would like to do is give you just a few minutes of time, quiet time, about 5 minutes, and do a guided meditation. Let me explain how this works. I'd like to suggest that you allocate the next 5 minutes. Take it out for yourself and just relax. Enjoy the calm. Take a few moments to just be. I'll start you out with some empowering comments, but then I'm going to allow you some time for your own thoughts and feelings. Toward the end of the 5 minutes, I'm going to invite the sending of positive thoughts and energy to those who need it. And by the way, if you're listening to this program while you're driving or doing anything else that requires your full attention, please don't participate in this guided meditation. Just listen with full awareness. Now, to begin with, make sure you're sitting comfortably, but not too comfortably. Sitting upright in a chair is good. And as we begin, I want you to just let go. Fix your eyes straight ahead on a point across the room and focus on it. Don't concern yourself with or think about the worries of the day. Just allow yourself to be carried along by the sounds of the waves. I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose, hold it to the mental count of three, and then release it slowly through your nose. As you continue to focus on what directly off, I want you to feel the relaxation beginning to enter your body. Fill it up. Take another deep breath into your muscles, out through your mouth, and onto your front. Allow your eyes to get close and focus on the music. Now, as you breathe in relaxation. And you breathe out tension. You breathe in positive energy. And breathe out stress. Every breath you take relaxes your mind, heart. And it's all right. You know, it feels so good to just relax for a second. As the outside world begins to fade to the bit. Allow yourself to have your time. Nobody wants anything. Nobody needs anything. There's nobody demanding it. Just let go of any negative thoughts or feelings, of any worries or concerns for this day. But just the mind and the body are truly one. If the mind can conceive all you have, all you are, you shall achieve. Your mind is a rare gift, gifted in focus, gifted in power. Your mind shapes the world, and I want you to understand that all the way from within you, there is a light. With every breath draw, it shines brighter. The light within you is deep. The reality of the leaves, the strength of your heart, and the conviction you, with every breath draw, it's brighter. Now take a moment, just focus on yourself, on your thoughts, the good and the stress. Now, as you continue to relax, continue to focus on positive things, breathing in relaxation and output. Focus on what's good, clean, good, powerful, positive. Understand that you can accomplish anything you choose. As you continue to focus, I want you to take just a moment and let's send some positive energy and thoughts to those who need it. As you begin to open your eyes and come to full awareness, I would like to send some positive energy and thoughts to my friend Joan Del Rio, who is battling some illness. I wish her my very best and hope that you'll join in me in sending that positive energy. I would also like to send positive energy and thoughts to all those who are having a difficult time, who need a good word. And lastly, I would like you to join me in sending powerful, positive thoughts and energy to yourself. Because when it's all done and said, don't we need it just as much as everyone? Send it to yourself. Boost yourself. Stand tall and erect, knowing that we have an incredible spirit, we human beings. In fact, the human spirit is unstoppable. We can do and accomplish anything we choose to do. Now, we've been talking about embracing change in the form of new directions in our lives. And I wanted to talk just briefly about some new directions for MCHS Church. We're continuing to develop and refine the church, including its services, starting, of course, with the weekly services such as this program, and this will continue to improve and evolve. We are looking at additional programming, and we want to continue to develop other programs, not only other radio programs, but also other types of educational programs. We're, of course, doing the Metaphysics Institute, and we have a number of classes and courses available there. We have the Metaphysics PhD program available. We also have a certification available in holistic life coaching and spiritual counseling, so you may want to visit metaphysicsinstitute.org for those. We're continuing to expand and enhance the classes and courses there, continuing to some development on satellite churches for MCHS, for those who may feel a calling to start their own ministry. So we'll be announcing some more details of that. We're also beginning some the development on our official book entitled The Enchiridion of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, A Metaphology for Life and Enlightenment. This book will expand on our principles of belief and offer numerous practical life skills for improving one's life and relationships. So we'll also be announcing more on that as we continue to develop it. We would also like to be able to offer assistance in other ways, including those who perhaps are in a desperate situation. And, of course, this all requires the financial wherewithal to pull off. And so we would like to warmly encourage those who are listening, who find value in what MCHS offers, to donate on the website today, to make a generous donation to help support this work. it takes an awful lot of work and development to do this kind of thing, and it takes a lot of people, and we would like to encourage those who have a desire to share their expertise, to volunteer here and there. Just contact me. Contact us. We're always looking for good help. And if you have something you'd like to offer, send me an email. And, my name is Doug. Send it to admin@mchschurch.org. And just let me know of your availability. But we appreciate everybody's kindness who have made donations. We know that times are hard. We very much know that, and we very much appreciate the kindness that people have shown by in a number of ways, but not to make light of their hard-earned money. Next week, we're going to be talking about honoring the divine energy in all things. This is an expansion of our principle of belief number 5. If you have questions through the week, you can email them to me. I'll answer them on air if you'd like, or I can answer them privately. Again, admin@mchschurch.org. They can be questions about life, relationships, or other metaphysical topics. If you like what you're hearing, you like what you see on mchschurch.org, why not consider joining us? We'd love to have you. That pretty much wraps up this week's edition. Glad you could join me either live or by archive. This is Doug Kelly, urging you to listen, think, learn,
this
grow,
has been Empowered in Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Inc.